You're listening to the Hope Community Church Podcast. Our prayer for you is that as you listen, you'll be engaged, encouraged, and expectant for all that God wants to accomplish in your heart and in your life. If you enjoy this podcast, please share it with friends and family so that the gospel message may continue to go out to the ends of the earth. Thank you for joining us.
Amen. Before I get into scripture, I think we got a little junior prom going on down here, you know, so it's pretty awesome to see that. It's incredible. As we do Vacation Bible School, we're already introducing it to our kids, our children, bringing them in here, and I'm loving every minute of it. Yeah, so I just pray for their energy and Jacqueline's energy. You know, I pray for that in my own life. So let's look at Luke chapter 24, verses 50 through 53. We're finishing out Luke 24 today. It says, then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting his hands, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was carried up into heaven, the ascension story. After worshiping him, they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple complex. And Luke finishes off his whole book. They were praising God. Let's pray together. Let's tell the Father that we love him today from our heart to his. May he hear from us. We're here to do that today. Give him our worship. He's worthy of our praise. And to thank the Father for sending the Son. So give thanks for who the Lord is and what he's done and what he's revealed and how he's led us through. And he's the God of promise. And just give thanks for all that. We enter here, this service, this building, this campus, with thanksgiving. We overflow tomorrow on a Monday with thanksgiving in our heart. We pray for others who overlap into our life. They're grieving. Some are stricken with illness and injury, and some needing just emotional help. They're just carrying an emotional weight, spiritual direction, finances, decisions that need to be made, relationships. Just give their name to our Heavenly Father today. We pray for them and others. We go from praying to others to praying for the nations, some that you are connected to in ministry. You've traveled to them. You may have gone there, flown there to do your work. You just have an affinity for nations. Pray for them. Pray for those nations. Pray for the nations that are in conflict with war and uprisings. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And as you mature in the Lord and you mature in his word, you're going to one day realize that the whole world is after that city. The whole world is after that city. And we pray for the peace of Jerusalem from the mandate of Scripture and the Psalms. And we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. He says those who do will find favor with him. We pray for our nation. Our hearts would turn back. As we pray for other nations, we pray for a movement of God to sweep our nation as well. We ask that you pray for those around you that are literally standing there around you. Pray a blessing over them and pray a blessing over your family wherever they may be. Some of you have given and invested in this church financially. Pray a blessing over your gift. We exist to advance the gospel and the kingdom of God. We're organized and we send. We're just a sending church for those reasons. Ask the Lord to bless your offering today. And then please always remember there's a greater offering than your gifts, your financial gifts, and that's you. And we say, in the words of Isaiah, Lord, here am I, send me, send us, use us, Lord, is our prayer. Lord, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And Lord, you look at all of us today, but you see me differently. I'm your teacher and your preacher. On me is a greater and a more strict judgment than anybody in the room. I know that, and I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. So in the name of Jesus, I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you today. Thanks for being with us. We left you last Sunday in Luke 24, and we handled the Father's promise, if you remember that. And that promise is that he's sending the Holy Spirit and will empower his people and the church. That becomes the Father's promise. So we left you there. Hopefully Thursday you remembered to worship with Ascension Day. That's 40 days. This last Thursday was 40 days after Easter, and it becomes Ascension Day, where we focus on his ascension, and we gave you some scripture to read, and we gave you some music to listen to when it came to being that and involving that in a part of your devotion and your worship on that day. We want to look at Luke 24:50 for just a moment and start breaking this down. It says, then he led them out as far as Bethany and lifted up his hands. He blessed them. Bethany would be the Mount of Olives, and this is important. It may not seem important to you, but it is important. Bethany would be the Mount of Olives. If you've ever seen, most pictures of Jerusalem are taken from the Mount of Olives, and it shows the wall and the gate, and it has that Golden Dome mosque there in the background of it. Most of those pictures are taken from the Mount of Olives, just outside the wall of Jerusalem. Bethany would be what's referred to as a Sabbath day's journey, which in their language would be, you know, a little over a mile, right at a mile. So it says he led them out as far as Bethany in the Mount of Olives. And this may not be important to you. Maybe that's why you need preachers to dig a little deeper in some things for you. But Bethany is a favorite place of Jesus. Right above it, right below it, would be the Garden of Gethsemane. But it also is a home place of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, who was close to him. But here's what's most important about it. The Mount of Olives is a place of ascension, but you're going to see in a minute, it's also the place of his return. Jesus is just not going to fall out of an airplane and just land wherever, you know? He ascended from the Mount of Olives, and his return will be on the Mount of Olives. It's a very calculated and a very pointed ascension, and also the return of Christ. But in this, he mentions outside the location and its importance that he talks about lifting up his hands, he blessed them. That, and we're gonna get to a greater point when it comes to he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. But let's talk about this for a moment, because it can become a point of contention with people. Like, even when we say hello with a hand wave or goodbye with a hand wave, it is a typical gesture of blessing. Like, it's good to see you. You know, it's, I'll see you later. And there's an intention there with the raised hand and it being a blessing. It says he lifted up his hands and he blessed them there. I know we can get into worship and, you know, thank the Lord we're kind of out of the worship wars a little bit now in the church, but it can be a point of contention, especially with men. And I'm going to pick on my tribe for just a moment. And that is, we'll get to the point where people aren't going to make me do stuff in worship. You know, I get it. You know, that's my tribe and I'm a part of that tribe, that it can be a point of contention. And so just let me bring some clarification to this. Is it okay to raise your hands? Absolutely. Is it okay not to? Absolutely. You know, there are times my worship is very reflective. It's very inward. It's very thought-provoking and processing. And then there are times, I mean, like this one young lady down here, she's dancing with her thumbs up, you know? That's awesome, you know? And the The point is, my worship can be very expressive as well. And it really contains both. I had a man ask me one time, he said, is there any such thing as wrong worship? And I said, yeah, it's when there's no worship. You know, that's when it becomes wrong. So I want you to walk through this lifting of the hands thing for just a moment, because it becomes really important to get the point that I think is here. Look at Leviticus 9:22. It's Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people, blessed them, meaning it's a sign of blessing. He came down after sacrificing the sin offering and the burnt offering and the fellowship offering. It's a priestly gesture. Because there are times when I pray over you, you may not see it, I'll raise my hand. When we're doing baptisms and we get to the point of in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we raise our hand. When I do a wedding, and I'm doing a wedding, there are two times that I'll raise my hand in a wedding. And one is when we're doing the ring ceremony and I go in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And as long as I can handle everything that I'm holding, I'll raise my hand to that. And then there's another part when I pronounce them husband and wife. And usually I prolong that section of the wedding on purpose because I just want to aggravate the guy in delaying him getting to kiss his bride. It's a righteous delay, okay? But I'll thank everybody in the wedding party and I just kind of draw it out just in a righteous way to aggravate the groom from kissing his bride a little earlier. But when I get to the point where I am announcing their husband and wife, I'll raise my hand in a blessing context, and that is to, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There are times I even have you extend a hand to people that we may be praying for in the altar. It just becomes a picture of blessing being cast, and it has a priestly look to it, meaning that the blessing is there. Then it becomes more directive in 1 Timothy 2:8. Paul writing to his son in the ministry, Paul to Timothy, therefore I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger and without argument. This one we're going to need to talk about a little bit. So the lifting of hands is indicative of the power of God. And it needs to be in the believer's context. I don't know that lifting my hands to Jelly Roll is the same thing as lifting my hands to Jesus, okay? So at a concert, you know, and I'm not against Jelly Roll, but my point is, you know, there can be a concert setting and then there can be a worship setting. So the point is, in the believer's context, when we're the raising of hands, it's indicative of the power of God and the blessing of God. And we even told this, that even in the raising of hands, when I've dealt with hospice chaplains a lot, and nurses who are in that those last days of somebody who is dying. And if you listen to their language and you listen to what they walk you through as a family, they will tell you that in the latter days of your family member's life, especially in the context of a believer, you may see your loved one before they die raise their hands. And I know that's true with Julie's dad. We weren't there when Meemaw passed away. But I know that we were with him when he passed away. And in a few days before, Papaw started raising his hands. And you could say, well, that's, you know, that's this bodily reaction. Papaw was raising his hands to the point it would lift him off the bed. And Julie and I just looked at each other because he was seeing what we couldn't see. And he saw it so much that he wanted it. Even in his weakness, he reached for it. And so I said this because my jokes can not always be on time and they can always not be easily understood. But I said, there's Pentecostal Papaw, Julie, right there in the bed. And I can see him now as I'm explaining it to you, that he's reaching for something that's very desirable to him. And I have in my mind in Revelation of what that is. It's the presence of Christ himself and also the promise of his heavenly home. I have no doubt that that happened. So raising of hands is just indicative in the believer's context of not only blessing, but even the power of God. But in this, it's talking to men. And men, I'm going to talk to my tribe. We can even be in worship. Like, I'm never going to say, okay, everybody, you know, if you don't raise your hand, you're lost as a ball in high weeds. You know, I'm not going to say that. Don't believe that. But my point is, men, it's harder for us to surrender. You know, we're that defender, and it's hard for us to be able to surrender sometimes. And I even think Paul can be pointing it to men, to our tribe, about the fact of we want, first of all, we pray and we lift up holy hands, and it doesn't mean you have to do it in public. It doesn't mean that at all. It's not the picture of here, but that we see the need of even lifting hands to the Lord. But here's the catch. I don't think Paul is putting the emphasis on the lifting of arms to the Lord. I think the emphasis here is the hands. And it's not that they're lifted, it's that they be holy. Do you see that in the scriptures? It's the lifting up of holy hands. Because when I look at these hands, do these hands do the work of the kingdom? Do they do the work of Christ? Or do they do the work of the flesh and the work of the world? So when I offer them to the Lord, I want them to be holy hands. They're hands that he made for work that he has given, for glory that he receives. And so it's not the fact of, do I raise up hands? You're fine. I love when you all do that. That's fine. It's okay when I don't. But my point is, it's not do I lift my arms in worship. I think the point is, are my hands holy? Do I have them being a picture of his holiness in my life? And it's a sign of surrender. Even when we do our PACE prayer, P staying for praise and A for accepting, and we raise our hands to see if we release control. Man, it's difficult for us to do to that C part of the PACE prayer. It's just the surrender's not in us. But in this picture, it just means that these hands are dedicated to him. So the raising of hands are blessings sent, blessings received. I don't think the key is lifting. I think the key is, are my hands holy? And let me parallel this with the Psalms, and it's with the Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4, okay? And it is, who may ascend the hill of the Lord or the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Look what the first listing is. He who has clean hands. What do these hands do? They work for the flesh, and they work for the world, or who are they dedicated to? It's first thing it says here, you have clean hands, holy hands. Second thing is a pure heart. Third thing is my mind is set on him, not what is a lie or false. And then the last one is that even my language is not deceitful before the Lord. And actually, if you look at verse 5, it says, and you'll be blessed. You know, and we're talking about the raising of hands of blessing. So it's not a part of an argument of whether you should raise hands, and don't even think about it as we get into our next song. It's not even a judgmental part. You know, I don't think people that raise hands are more spiritual than people who don't. It's just a way of expression and the power of God and the blessing of God, and absolutely every bit of that is A-okay. Absolutely all of it. But I think the focus for us is, I know the lifting up of my hands toward him, but I have to ask the question that's a little deeper in all of us, are they holy hands? Are they holy hands? That indicate that all has been surrendered to him. Luke 24:51. So if you're raising hands and you're going, was Brother Jeff like that or not? Don't even think that, okay? I want you to. I want you to be able to do that. And I want you to have the freedom to be able to do that. I just want to go a little deeper into Scripture And let's just see that our hands are holy before him and they're clean hands before him. Luke 24:51. And while he was blessing them, he left them and he was carried up into heaven. We know this as the ascension. And we parallel this to Acts 1:9-11, which we had you read Thursday. After he had said this, he was taken up as they were watching, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while he was going, they were gazing into heaven, and suddenly two men in white clothes stood by them, which I've been calling 911 if I was one of the disciples and saw all that go on. You know, it's amazing. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into heaven? This Jesus who's been taken from you in heaven." Now remember, he's on the Mount of Olives, okay? Let's put that in there. We can plug that in. "We'll come in the same way back to the Mount of Olives." Even the angels know he's coming back. Okay, we know that through Scripture and through the Gospels. But we also know that from the angels. They know he's coming back. "We'll come in the same way that you've seen him going into heaven." So the whole picture here is indicative of him going and ascending and then returning in such a great fashion. Luke 24:52. It said, "After worshiping him, they returned to Jerusalem with great joy." I just want you to know that in the presence of Jesus should always be worship. That worship took place. And it says later on that there was joy. And they're doing this, they're going back to Jerusalem with such certainty. Passion. Passion. And the Father's promise of the Holy Spirit being there and empowering them. That they're in the zone. Do you know what it means to be in the zone? This unstoppable future. I played baseball in college, and my teammates invited me to go to a Reds game today, and they did it some time ago. They said, they called me Eaton. They go, "Hey, Eaton, you know, we know that you may not be able to get away from church, but some of our old team is getting together, and we're going to the Reds game. Could you go?" And I told them I couldn't. You know, I wasn't able to do that. And actually, it's next Sunday. I'm already a Sunday early, but I can't go next Sunday either. But they reminded me of a game where we were going to play at another level in another part of the nation. And I was in a zone, man. I had this pitcher. I had him tagged, and we needed a run. The guy was on third base, and they put another guy in to bunt squeeze, and he ended up striking out, and then the guy got tagged out at home, and we already had one out, so the game was over. And so the whole time these guys are talking, "Guys, this has been 40 some years ago," okay? And they're just talking about a play in a game where we were in the zone. I mean, man, it was clicking. And if you've ever been there, if you've ever played in sports or whatever, and you've been in that zone, you just feel unstoppable. I mean, you feel limitless, you know? And this is where these people are getting, because they've not only seen the what happened on the cross, they've seen the resurrection, they witnessed it, they've just seen the ascension happen, and they know they're going to be empowered by the Father's promise. And they're in the zone here, you know? You've got to realize going back to Jerusalem was a hazard. It was the toughest place for them to go because they just killed Jesus and they didn't like them either. But it said they went there with joy, because in the presence of our Lord, there's not only blessing, there's worship, and then there's even joy. I want to remind you, when the angels told us about the birth of Christ, they said, "Good tidings of great joy." That the references to Jesus are always not ordinary joy, but great joy, because there's blessing there and there's worship there. And not only that, there's joy present. James writes in chapter 1, and he said, "Even when you go through trials and tribulations, count it all joy." That verse can make us mad and angry. But what he will produce in you is your character and a deepening of your faith. the person that went into that trial or tribulation will not be the same person that comes out of that trial and tribulation, because he will give you increase in every single bit of that. He'll give you the increase in that. So I just want you to see the beauty of this verse right here is that they went back. There was worship that happened. There was blessing that happened. There's worship that happened. And then there's great joy that happened in their life. Look at Luke 24, 53. And they were continuing in the temple complex praising God. So they're back in Jerusalem. They're in the upper room at the temple, which is going to be the upper room for the next 10 days until Pentecost comes, where the Holy Spirit is sent and gives birth to the church. And they're praying for that, and they're waiting for that. Some people say they pray for the Holy Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit's already been promised. Their praying is to get them ready to receive the empowering of the Holy Spirit. So they're there in that upper room, and they're there until in Acts 2, there is the birth of the church. I want to remind you, in these last two verses, they went to Jerusalem with joy, and that they're now praising and worshiping in that temple upper room. I want you to know that the early church was not a grieving church. They're not grieving. They're passionate. I mean, they are passionate. They know that they have a promise. They know that they're going to be an empowered church. They know that they're going to be an unstoppable church. There's no king or army. I watch some of these movies with robots coming out of the sky and taking over the world. I just want you to know nothing's going to be able to stop the church of Jesus Christ. No army, no king, no president, no nation, nothing. He is going to defend his bride, and nothing will stop the church. It's not a grieving church. It's a passionate, promised, empowered church. And man, they go into this with everything that they have. I want to remind you that the last thing that Luke writes in the book of, in his gospel, Luke, is that they were praising God. You know, there's the presence of Christ, and I know I harp on you all on that all the time. And listen, I know you're probably going, preacher, go to another point. I never will. Because that's where you and I have to always go. It's his presence. And in his presence, there's great blessing. And in that blessing comes incredible worship. And then out of that worship comes a joy that can't be contained. And that happens. We're not a grieving church. It becomes a very, very passionate church. So his last words in his gospel is they praise God. I want you to know also that Luke begins chapter 1 with it all happening and beginning in the temple. I want you to know that his last chapter in chapter 24 has it all ending in the temple, and they're praising the Lord and waiting for the promise, Holy Spirit of God. I want to tell you something else about Luke. The Gospel of Luke is volume 1. The book of Acts, he wrote the book of Acts, is volume 2. So he ends with the ascension in Luke 24. And he begins with the ascension in Acts 1. And I'm an ascension guy. Now, do I take the ascension and go above the cross and the resurrection? No. But I think the ascension gets overlooked. I think we'll give it a little passing nod and a notice. But I think it becomes overlooked a lot of times. Because I think there's such a picture of who we are as believers that we're able to see in the example and the account of the ascension story of our Lord, that Luke makes it so supreme that it is at the end of his gospel, and it's at the very beginning of the book of Acts. And I want you to be able to see this. Paul takes that on as well. Paul, in his writings, emphasizes that the Christian life is ascending, that it is moving upward. You may have been in our Bible study on the doctrine of salvation, I think, last fall. And we were dealing with this, that everything in the world is decaying and breaking down. Everything. Everything is breaking down. I mean, sometimes I get on a plane and I look at that plane and I look at that hull of that plane's about that thick. You know, I mean, I've got teeth thicker than that hull, you know, and I'm going, man, I'm trusting this. And I don't know if the people in the, cabin had, if they, you know, I stayed at Holiday Inn last night, Express. You know, I don't know if they had a good night. I don't know if they're mad. I don't know. You know, we just trust our life to so many things. And just everything that we know in this world is decaying. It's breaking down. It's got a process of descending to it. And Paul, he writes, the Christian life is ascending. It's always moving upward, and it's always moving forward. And I think the picture of ascension is a picture of even our life here on this earth. I mean, even the scripture says, Paul writes, we're breaking down outside, outwardly, every day. I said this the other day, and this is a Jeffism. I didn't get it anywhere else. It just came from my life. I said, I'm getting so old now that when I get up in the morning, it sounds like you've poured milk on Rice Krispies. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just snap, crackle, and pop, you know, in my bones. And I'm going, geez, oh, Pete, man. You know, I'm like the tin man, you know, like give me a squirt of oil here and there. So, but we're breaking down on the outside. But hang on. Bible says, and the empowerment of the Spirit says, on the inside, Jethro is ascending. I am lifted. I'm being renewed in the inner man. I'm tearing down on the outside, but on the inside, oh goodness. You see, it's just everything, the ascension gives us the picture that everything we're doing is ascending when it comes to the Lord, the building up for that day. And we, you know, it's incredible to me that the kingdom is ascending. I want to take you back to Psalm 24 for just a moment, verses 3 and 4. And we've talked about clean hands, pure heart, and all that. But just look at verse 3. And look at the word ascend. It's even there. Who may, because the Christian life is ascending. Who may ascend the house or the mountain or the hill of the Lord? I've always said people have clean hands, pure hearts, good minds, and a four-wheel drive truck. I've always added that to it. But who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Because ascension is who we are. Even in trials and tribulation, we ascend. Those who humble themselves, he said, I will one day exalt. You don't ascend yourself. He ascends you. He lifts you up. It just continues to go on. Do you catch that today? Do you see that today? Even the lifting of hands, I think the importance is not are your arms raised or not. It's are your hands holy? Because these hands are a part of an ascension movement. The movement of God. They're here to build up and not tear down. They're here for the kingdom and not for the world and the flesh. And it just all fits together for me. I hope it does for you as easily. That the ascension story is a picture of our story. That we ascend in the Christian life and we just keep on and on ascending. You know what I say all the time, right? He leads us through, doesn't he? I mean, it can seem just incredible. There's no hope and there's no way out. And God makes a way where there seems to be no way. And he gives us light when it seems like nothing but darkness. And it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing how he does that. So when it comes to the ascension, whether it's our hands or whether it's Him, may our hands be holy. And not only that, the picture of His ascension is a picture of ours. And can we not give thanks for that today? I mean, let's just give thanks for that today, you know, for what He does in our life. Let's pray together, okay? Father, I pray over our people today. Bless them, bless us. And when I say bless them, it's with a raised hand. Bless them, Lord. It may be in a priestly way, but bless them, because a raised hand is indicative of Your power and Your presence. Bless them. Father, work in us that even our hands are an example of our hearts. I pray for clean hands and pure hearts, Lord, here. Not in a legalistic way, a rule-keeping way, but just in a relationship way. Lord, You've given us life, and we just want to give it back to You. Clean hands, pure hearts. Thank You for the picture of the ascension, Lord, as incredible and supernatural as it is. We also know it's a picture that You in our life ascend us and lead us through. I can't live long enough to thank You for that, for what You do. So, Father, hear our prayers today. Hear our hearts today, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, of we've chased things that shine in this world. And Lord, forgive us that we think the world has a better deal, a better offer to us. Forgive us of that. We thank You for the person of Jesus, His life, His mission, His death, and Lord, so importantly, His resurrection. And then we thank You that He ascended, and He promises that we ascend too. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. We pray together. Amen. Church, would you stand with me? Will you do that? Counselors, would you find your place? If you're here for people to pray for you and with you and over you today, you come. You may be going through a tough time and you just need that brother or sister to pray for you. Then you come. You may come and it may be a day that you surrender your life to Christ. I certainly remember that day in my life, and I can never say thank You enough for all that He's done. You may want to be at that point of surrender, and you come today and do that. Remember what we say, whosoever will, for whatever reason, today you come. The team's going to lead us. You respond. Blessings to you.